Joining us now from ESPN and the golf side of things, Jason Sobel. What's going on, my man?
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
We are doing awesome. Nice comeback from Mr. McIlroy off of a rib injury. Maybe we should all get rib injuries, huh?
Beware the injured golfer. You know the old axiom. We've seen it over and over the years that, you know, a guy's injured, and we say, okay, it's going to take him a while to get back, and maybe he won't really be in form for a while, and maybe it'll take him a little while. I mean, it was only a few weeks ago, and people were worried about McIlroy even playing the Masters tournament next month, let alone actually being able to be competitive there. I think all those worries have gone away in the first 36 holes this week.
Yeah, and when we talk about this new course in Mexico, obviously not playing Doral this week, number one, do you miss Doral? And number two, what are we seeing at this golf course in Mexico?
Mixed emotions about Doral. It's had sort of an older kind of feel to it. I didn't love the renovations that had been done over the years. Obviously, there's a lot of political talk when it comes to Doral as well, which wasn't quite all there last year. And I do like the fact that a World Golf Championship is being moved around the world, because we had three of the first four WGC events during the year were played every year in Miami, Austin, Texas now, and Akron, Ohio, which that's not exactly worldly. That's not exactly international. I think the game needs to grow if the powers that be on these big tours around the world are really intent on, hey, let's bring this game globally and let's have this be really a World Golf Championship circuit, then we need to move it internationally as well. Now, that's easier said than done, because maybe not all of the best players in the world are going to travel globally during the course of the season. But I think Mexico is a good move. The course looks really cool. I'm not sure about all the stomach bugs that the players and caddies, some of them at least, are going through so far this week. But other than that, I think everything's gone pretty well, and I think the course is pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps did these guys think it was maybe safe to eat at Chipotle when they went to Mexico?
I don't know. We have to get Bones on the phone to find out exactly what went wrong. But, I was talking, Bob Harrig is covering the tournament for us for ESPN.com. He's down there. He said, just little things. It's not like, hey, just don't take a glass of water from the sink and drink it, but you shouldn't eat raw vegetables because they've been washed in that tap water. So there's little things that you don't really think about that all of a sudden you get sick down there and you say, oh, you know what? Maybe it was that Tuesday night dinner. I went for this instead of that, and that was probably a bad mistake.
Yeah, it can be as simple. I remember a friend of mine had a problem. He went for the raw vegetables. He went for the broccoli in the ranch dip at a party, and that was it. That was it, because that had been washed in tap water. So, all right, well, we're on with Jason Sobel from ESPN. And, Jason, I'm very interested in this youth movement that's going on right now. It's exciting. Earlier in the show, we were comparing the performance of the European Tour players right now to the PGA Tour players here and arguing a little bit about whether or not the performance in the Ryder Cup had any impact. But what's exciting to me is that DJ, at 32, is the elder statesman who's won so far on the PGA Tour. So does this speak to the health of the game? And have we figured out how to replace Tiger with a number of people?
Isn't it amazing? It's almost like there's a Hollywood script out there. It's almost like the golf guides have told us, okay, the Tiger era is done now, but here's what we're giving you for the next year moving forward. And we've had 8 champions on the PGA Tour since the beginning of January. 7 of them are in their 20s. Like you said, Dustin Johnson, the only one who's quote-unquote older. He's 32. He won in L.A. to move to number one in the world. Rory McIlroy could be another guy who wins in his 20s this week, and he could overtake number one in the world and push DJ back down. I think it speaks volumes about the state of the game, about where the state of the game is headed for the next few years. And I think the rest of us need to get it out of our heads, and I think those of us in the golf industry have. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, we're waiting for Tiger to come back. But I think we've all moved on. I think we understand that golf now, moving forward, is maybe not one dominant player, but 4, 5, 6, 10, 15 really, really good players, and most of them are younger.
Yeah, and I'm curious, and this has been an argument, you know, across the world of sports right now with young athletes and this new generation. I mean, it's great to see all these guys in their 20s and early 30s. Don't we wish maybe they hated each other more? I mean, all of the banana boats and the vacationing together. It's great that it's happening, but wouldn't it be even more interesting if they didn't like each other?
It would be. It's a weird dynamic in golf. I think that if you had, football players who, the biggest rivals out there are all going on vacation together the week before they play each other, I think there'd be something wrong there because it's a physical sport. It's a contact sport. And golf, look, you're playing the golf course anyway. So it's not as if Jordan Spieth can run up to Rory McIlroy and tackle him in the middle of the fairway and say, hey, look, I have a little hatred for this guy and I really want to go out there and beat him. I think sometimes if you're friends with the guy, you want to beat him even more so than if you're enemies with him. So, yeah, there's something to that. I think there's something there that, if these guys all hated each other, if they're all a little, didn't quite see eye to eye with each other, that maybe they'd want to go out there and beat each other more. But they're all such good guys. And, I hesitate to say that because we in the media never really know exactly what these players are like. But I'm around them a decent amount. And, that's one of the first questions I always get asked. I go after the first tee, we start walking down the first fairway, and they say, so what are these guys like? They really all are just good guys, honest guys, open guys, fun guys to just sit and kind of hang out and talk with. From Spieth to McIlroy to Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, really all of them are very open, very honest, very kind of easy to be around. And it's kind of tough to forge those rivalries where you say, all right, Jordan, you have to go hate DJ. And we need that to happen for the state of the game. It just doesn't work that way.
Again, we're talking with Jason Sobel of ESPN. And Jason, we see these guys like a Hideki Matsuyama and a Justin Thomas are lighting it up, and now Ricky Fowler's kind of tossed his hat in there, and we see Rory coming back off of his injury. Can any of these guys win at Augusta? And also throw Jordan Spieth in there because of what happened last year. Who has the highest expectations right now, maybe going into Augusta? The guys that are lighting it up, or Jordan Spieth, who's won there before but kind of blew it last year?
My answer to that is yes. My answer to that is really everybody that we've seen either win or come close or play well so far this year has a chance going into Augusta. I mean, we can look at the first week of March for the last 20 years and say, boy, this Masters, this has a chance to be an epic Masters. And some of them turn out to be and others don't. But it's really hard to see what's happened over the first 2 months of this year and say, this isn't going to be an epic Masters tournament coming up. It's just all set up for it. The best players in the world are playing their best golf. They're all young. They're all hungry. They all want to go out there and get that green jacket. From a guy like Jordan Spieth, who obviously has to exercise some demons from last year, to a guy like Rory McIlroy, who's trying to win the career Grand Slam, I don't know that I could say right now who has an edge. Jordan obviously has shown a propensity to play very, very well at Augusta National. That said, Dustin Johnson has shown a propensity to play well everywhere. Hitting it 330 and straight usually helps on any golf course in the world. And then Rory McIlroy going after the career Grand Slam. I've always thought that Augusta maybe sets up better for him than any of the other three major championships. So I think that if he's fully healed and playing his best golf, which it certainly looks like he will be if he can straighten that putter out a little bit, I think he's probably the favorite going into Augusta, if we see a few more rounds like the first two he's played so far this year.
Yeah, but now with Justin Thomas and Hideki Matsuyama, I mean, this might be uncharted territory, more for maybe Justin Thomas than Hideki, because Hideki's had some success before. But how's Justin Thomas going to handle this newfound pressure going into a major, knowing that he's already got these multiple wins on the tour? He's going to be a President's Cup player. He's kind of the future of the maybe even the Ryder Cup. I mean, how's he going to handle this?
I don't see the pressure getting to Justin Thomas very much. I think one of the best things, and he may not have even seen it this way, but one of the best things for him was to see his buddy Jordan Spieth go out and start winning majors at a very young age, because maybe there was a little jealousy back then. Maybe he's saying, I thought I was going to be as good as Jordan Spieth. All of a sudden, he's the number one player in the world. He's got a few major championships. He's an absolute superstar, and I'm still trying to kind of cut my teeth on the big tour out here. Well, now he's shown that he's a top 10 player in the world. He really is that good. And he has the confidence knowing, hey, look, I grew up with a guy like that. I've played all my life against him. I know what it takes to go out there and beat him, and I know that he's been able to win this golf tournament. If he can do it, I can do it as well. So I don't think that pressure is really going to get to him too much. The fact that he's won a few times already this year certainly helps. You feel like you're playing with house money a little bit when you go out there and play in these events. He's got 3 wins this season, 2 of them this year, 1 late last year, and nobody can do anything to take those away from you when you've got those already. And as we've seen in the past, when players can free will a little bit and have a sense that they're playing with that house money, that's a really beneficial thing going forward.
Yeah, I mean, Thomas has been a good player, but he's really been thrust into the limelight, you know, with his performances recently. Does a guy like him, I mean, the fact that, you know, they make the changes to the rules of golf or the proposed changes, and he's one of the first people that we as media members go and ask about it. You know, a year or two ago, we wouldn't have even asked him. Does he enjoy that? I mean, or does it add pressure to him?
I've never gotten a sense from him that he doesn't enjoy it. I mean, I think these guys understand that all the questions and all the attention comes with playing better. So you take, hey, look, I can play better and have a lot of attention on me, or play worse and have no attention on me. I think everyone would take that first scenario. So, no, I've never gotten a sense that it bothers a guy like Justin Thomas. Hideki Matsuyama, maybe a little bit with the language barrier. He's working on his English. It's gotten much better over the past year. He lives down in Orlando and works on his game down there, and I think that it helps just to be around people who are speaking the language. But I do get a sense that he's a shy person. In fact, one of the Japanese journalists gave me my favorite line ever a couple of years ago when I was writing about Hideki Matsuyama. She said, he doesn't speak much English, but he really doesn't speak much Japanese either, which is to say he's a very shy guy and just doesn't talk very much, not very outgoing. So if anyone, maybe it affects Hideki a little bit, but boy, he gets inside the ropes and he doesn't look like he's affected by too much pressure or anything else out there.
Yeah, and for Thomas and these other young guys who are emerging, I mean, schedule a little extra time for your walk from the clubhouse to the practice area to the green, because you're going to be bothered by fans and media asking questions. And I think that's a good trade-off. I'm curious about Matsuyama. You mentioned him. He's my pick. He's my dark horse pick for the Masters. Does he have the game to fit Augusta's layout?
I've always thought that what separates the best players in the world from sort of that second tier is that the best players in the world have the game to win anywhere, any week. And if you look at, I don't know how deep that is right now, let's call it top 10, top 12 in the world. You look at a guy who's maybe number 15, you say, well, he's really good, he's really talented, but right now I don't see him winning this major or that major. I only see him being able to contend at maybe 2 of them and not all 4. The best players in the world, you can see them winning any of the 4 major championships. Mm. And I certainly put Hideki Matsuyama in that category right now. He just is that talented. He changed his putting stroke late last year, fixed some things on it. I think that was a much needed fix, because certainly before that he was let's face it, he was struggling from 5 feet and in. He looked like me and you trying to make one of those little par saving putts, and he didn't look confident over those short ones. So he's fixed that. Certainly that ball striking is as good as anybody in the world. So as long as he's putting well, to me, he's a prime contender any single week he's out there. And I think the Masters certainly fits his game. Like I said, when you're that good, every tournament, every course fits your game.
All right, Jason, before we let you go, Mike made mention of the proposed rule changes. Was there one rule that jumped out at you that said, oh, man, it's about time that they looked at that one?
There were a few of them. You know, to me, it's more about the attitude, the overall adjustment in that, you know, they're removing some of the stodginess from the game. And I think the fact that you don't want rules to be casual, but, man, it's a lot easier. If I'm a guy who's just starting to play golf, and I'm maybe going to go to my local club and I'm going to play in some competitive events because I'm starting to get into it, the rule book might have held me back before. I might have said, look, I like playing. I like hitting the ball. I like, I like being able to make a score. But, man, I don't know what to do if I get in this situation or that situation. And The penalties really intimidate me. I think it's much less intimidating now for someone to get into the game with these proposed changes. So it's less one specific rule and more the overall attitude adjustment towards, hey, this is going to be an easier game for people to be in, to understand. If you're sitting on a couch Sunday afternoon and you're trying to understand, say, that Dustin Johnson scenario from last year's U.S. Open, and you're not a big golf fan, boy, that's going to turn you away. That's going to make you think, you know, golf, too many rules, too much, you know, little stuff that, you know, it's not about how they're playing, more about what the rule book says about them, and it's a turnoff. And I think with these proposed changes, you get less of that and more just being about the golf. I think that's what they're going for.
Well, Jason, as always, we appreciate you hopping on with us. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.